Welcome to episode 308 of the AFK podcast for the week of August 30th. I'm your host, James Flynn, and this is a PC gaming podcast from gamers like you. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Curlin.
Hey, how's it going?
And Logan. And
hello.
Whitney with a very scary icon.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, shoot. I forgot to change it back. I'm sorry.
I thought we were, thought we had an unwanted guest for a minute there.
No, it's me. I forgot to change it back. I'm not in my house. I'm like kind of hanging out in the kitchen right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound okay. And I didn't, I failed to mention last week, and I hate Jerry Gamers in the chat room. You know, you did an excellent job hosting while I was gone, and thank you very much for doing that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had podcasts, and really appreciate you doing that. And it's not an easy job, and everybody hates to do it when they have to do it. So I appreciate you doing it. You did a great job.
Oh, I was happy to. Thank you. It was fun.
As far as my playlist this week, it's been zip zero, zilch. I've been filling out onboarding paperwork for my new job. I got a part-time job in IT. My choice. I had a bunch of job offers. I applied for like 60 different positions. Had a bunch of people calling me wanting to set up interviews or just outright offering me the job. But I decided to go with a job that was extremely part-time and offered a lot of flexibility because I re-enrolled in school. So I wanted to be able to make my own schedule, and I really liked the vibe I was getting from this company, and I get the feeling that there's more good things ahead with this company, and I hope that our relationship is a long one because I really liked the people that I've worked with so far. So I'm a network PC technician. I'm not going to say for which company, but my company takes on clients. You know, they're an IT contracting company, and I'll be working 30 minutes from here at a location 30 minutes from here, only one location. And it's extremely part-time, so it works out great. The pay is excellent, and I didn't need benefits or anything because I'm on my wife's insurance and whatnot. But I start Tuesday, so I got to get up to speed on what their site is using. And I got all the notes that the previous guy had and all the documentation and network map that the guy made, and apparently they're still using Lotus Notes, so I'm going to have to come up to speed on a very old software system.
But, congrats, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, if they're still using notes, I know exactly where they are on the...
I asked my boss, I'm like, are they at least using Windows 10? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're in Windows 10 and Windows Server 2016. I'm like, okay, good. It won't be as big of a security nightmare as I thought it would be. Because I am the only technician at this location. So I'm completely unsupervised, too, which is what I like, which is also nice. I already mentioned that I re-enrolled in WGU. I start October 1st. I take my dog in for his neutering tomorrow. I feel bad for him. I've been babying him all night just because, you know, but it's time. He's trying to hump everything. He's trying to hump anyone that comes through the door, humps his bed. I mean, you turn around and he's humping. It's gotten too far. And he's getting too aggressive with like dogs. You know, like the neighbor's dog and everything. Like we've got a female dog on the one side and a male dog on the other side. Well, he believes that the female dog is his and that male dog is a threat. So he tries to kill the male dog. Whenever he sees that male dog. And he's being very territorial and aggressive, so it's time for him to go in and get snipped because he is my service dog, and he needs to pass the good citizenship test the AKC does because the ADA is going to be requiring that in the near future in order for him to be called a service dog. So aggression towards other animals is one of the requirements that he not be aggressive towards other animals. So I'm working with a trainer, and the neutering was highly recommended by the vet. So otherwise, he's got the rest of the stuff down. I mean, he's good to go. for the AKC test. So my daughter turned 18, started college this week, and I feel super old. So we went.
Wow, already?
Yeah. We went rock wall climbing, and for her 18th birthday, I did about 5 walls all the way to the top, and then my arms were like jello, and then they were hard as a rock, and I couldn't move them. So, you know, she did about, I don't know, 8. She only did like 3 more walls than I did, and then she was done too. But man, that's good exercise. I think we're going to make that a regular thing, like every other Friday or something, go rock wall climbing. And then she's going skydiving this weekend. She's doing a tandem parachute jump. She's been wanting to do that for a while now. Now that she's 18, she can do it. And she's very much like me at that age. I was doing all that stuff when I was younger. You know, mountain biking, rollerblading, any extreme sport, paintball, rock wall climbing. And my dog's going nuts.
We weren't old enough to be able, or old enough, we weren't rich enough to be able to afford paintballs, so we just threw rocks at each other.
Yeah, we did that too when I was little. Glass bottles, rocks.
We went to our rich friends so we could get darts to throw at each other.
I didn't start playing paintball until I had a job and I was in my 20s. That shit is expensive. And that was it for me. It was just all real life stuff. I'm not put off by games or anything. I've had all this other stuff going on, you know, because it's summer, because kids, you know, hit a milestone and starting college and new job and all this other crap. So things for me this week should be much better. I've finished all my onboarding paperwork and everything's set and ready to go. And I don't start school till October. So I'm hoping to start doing some gaming again this week at some point. And that's about it for me. Curls, what's been on your playlist? What's going on in your life?
Week before, it was kind of just tooling around in Doom Eternal. I finished the campaign and kind of started on the first expansion. And then, like, this past week has been, like, a whirlwind. So, like, in the afternoon, I just kind of veg out with play some Pure Pool on the PlayStation while wifey did her thing. And I finally bit the bullet and ordered a new laptop for my workhorse.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
So I caught a sale, and with the discounts and everything, I pulled the plug on pulled the trigger on a Lenovo Legion 7.
I'll pull that up for our viewers.
All right.
Well, that's pretty sweet. That's a good price, too.
Well, the after you add the 3080 in, the price goes up.
It says starting at $1,619.
I'm planning on doing some video editing, so I went with the bigger GPU with the bigger frame buffer, because, like, when you're doing timelines and stuff, like, that really helps.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have just saved the money and got, like, a 3070 and either that or, like, the Legion 5 Pro. But yeah, like with all the other extras, like the cost difference between those two was like an extra $300-$400. And, you know, at that point, you're already spending the money, so you might as well go to the top, you know.
Yeah. And I like this move towards the thinner ultralight gaming notebooks. Now that everything's running low power enough and cool enough, they're able to stick gaming laptops into these smaller form factors.
Yeah, I really wanted another 16-inch. I had a System 76 or Oryx Pro for about a year, and the 16-inch form factor is perfect. It's not like a 15-inch that feels too small, and it's not a 17 that feels too big.
Yeah,
it sits right in that sweet spot, and this right here is also 1600p, which is, you know, finding 1440p on a laptop is kind of tough, but that's where, you know, like the best density as far as screen real estate is concerned, because 4K is too small at native. Yeah. Then you have to deal with all that scaling and all that stuff. And 1080p isn't enough screen real estate to really do a whole heck of a lot without having to scroll a lot. So it just kind of worked out.
Yeah, I like that they put all the I/O on the back like that. It makes it easy to put it in a dock.
Exactly. Yeah, and it does.
Shoots out the back. That's nice. Very nice. I'm jelly. I want a new laptop, but I can't afford one right now.
Yeah, I've been trying to find the perfect thing for the right price for, I don't know, it seems like about a freaking year. And I just been kind of scraping by and making do and like using, you know, one of the desktops, you know, to handle all of that, mm-hmm. even though, you know, it's not really, it's equipped, but it's not equipped the best because like my gaming machine is primarily for gaming. Like I don't have all of the stuff on there. And, but this right here is going to pull dual duty. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've got to use my MSI for work because I didn't want some clunky old shitty Dell laptop that they were going to give me.
Like, with a mechanical drive,
yeah,
right?
I'm like, nah, I just use my own equipment. That's all right, you know? And then you picked yourself up a new headset.
Yeah, that was on sale too. I was kind of needed another one because I didn't have one with the before. I was just using headphones. And since we moved, I haven't set up like my big speaker system, and I'm probably not, you know, to play on my main gaming machine. Mm-hmm. So I figured I'd pick up a decent headset that I could use either on the desktop when I'm playing on it or the laptop when I'm playing or doing work. So I want there with $60. It's supposed to do like this virtual 7.1 without software. And the reviews are pretty decent. It was a pretty decent price. So I went ahead and figured I'd give that a shot.
Very stylish, too. They look like they hold up.
Yeah.
It's like a solid band.
Yeah, everything that I've read, you know, people say that they're pretty good. So we'll see how they shake out.
Nice. Logan, what about you? What was on your playlist?
StarCraft 2. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. But I got into the Diablo 2 open beta. It was good. It was real, real good. Diablo 2 is an aged game. It's old. It's pixelated. It's not an artistic style of pixelation. And that remaster has done so much good for it. It was fun. It was... It was just awesome. I was actually sad to see it end. I'm torn, ethically torn. I don't want to buy it. First of all, for two reasons. Number one, fuck you, Blizzard, for charging Canadian $56 for an X decade old game. What is it, 20 years old? When did Blizzard 2 when did Diablo 2 come out?
Oh man, like 2012? 2013? I mean, it was a while ago.
Diablo 2? Yeah, I was going to say no, that's like 1997 or something.
I'm thinking 3, sorry. Yeah, Diablo 2 was in the 90s.
Yeah, Diablo 1 was 96. June 29th, 2000. So a 21-year-old game. Yeah, you did a fantastic job of cleaning up and putting some great graphics on there. Absolutely awesome. Let me give you some money for it. Let me give you $20. Let me give you 25. You know what, 30?
I was gonna say 10.
Sure, let me give you $30 because it looks awesome. But you can take $56 and you can stick it in your Cosby suite.
Oh god.
So I will absolutely not be buying this for $60. I will wait 100% and I will sit there on the sidelines waiting for it to hit $20. I will give you $20 for this game. When it does, I will be the first to buy it at $20. But until then, get bent, you. I'm curving my language a little bit. Yeah, so that was the Diablo 2 open beta. Oh my gosh, so good. And then just last night, I started Humankind. I got this on the Xbox Ultimate Game Pass on my computer. Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know if I am jaded to how civilization has evolved, but Humankind is phenomenal. It is. And I don't know, I might be on the decline. I am getting up there in my age, but it's hard, it's deep, the learning curve is steep. I'm like, I actually had to restart it 3 times to reread a bunch of tutorials. I set the tutorial all the way to the bare minimum. I mean, I played Civ literally 1 up through 6. And I'm like, okay, for this tutorial, I need you to tell me every little thing. Because they've got some very interesting mechanics which make it very difficult, and I'm not sure if I like yet, but it's one of those things that I have to just keep playing it more and more and more. Like right off the gate, I'm capped at 2 cities. I can only build 2 cities until I get civics or advancements to allow me to build more cities. I've got a few outposts, but oh my gosh, if anyone is interested in those strategic city builder type games, I guess it's not a city builder, a world builder, no, an empire builder type game, let me know, because I haven't hit up Google too much to figure out some stuff, just a couple little things here and there, but I'm going through it right now just trying to experience, but it is so good. Everything from how they handle the map. So they actually have on the map elevation changes, and as your scouts, your army, whoever walks across the map and experiences elevation changes, then they get a better view as well. And so if you climb a mountain, all of a sudden you can see this much of the map, and the minute you come down, it shrinks. And the way that they just roll the map out is so smooth and slick. It's really, really good. I haven't experienced this yet. I've heard, though, that there are some issues with the end game, because the empires get so big, it actually takes your computer a few minutes to chug through a turn for all the AI or your other players. So
yeah, I've run into that with a lot of Paradox games, because Paradox make a lot of games like this. Yeah. End game, it just starts to chug as the empires get huge. They have so many moves to make. It looks a lot like Civ, only better.
It does. It's a lot of the things that I wanted Civ to be. I know I had a lot of issues with Faith and how Faith was used in Civ 6, because I think it's a great philosophical discussion about a game going against certain philosophical beliefs. Like if you're an atheist and you don't want to use Faith, how do you get around it in Civ 6? Well, can actually, like, I mean, whenever I play, I don't, and the same with this game, like, Faith actually just got introduced, and by and large, I'm just trying to ignore it, and we're going to see how this pans out, but it's interesting. The civics in this, I feel, are better implemented than in Civ 6, because for me, the way they're touching me now is on a very philosophical standpoint about individual versus society, and it might just be, obviously world events right now, talking about COVID and all that stuff, and passport or vaccine passports, all this philosophical stuff, but I really like the discussion around the philosophy behind certain decisions and your obligations to the individual versus society and all this stuff. So you can tell I'm like super excited. I've literally got it running in the background right now, and I'm like, let me do one more turn, and it's awesome.
Yeah, those are the kind of games you start playing at 7 o'clock at night, next thing you know it's 4 in the morning.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Whitney, what about you? What was on your playlist this week?
I've just been playing a little bit of TFT. I'm not even like at my house right now. I don't even have my computer here. I didn't bring it with me this time. I've house pet sitting. And so I have to sit in the kitchen right now because one of the cats ran off on me. So I'm just waiting for her to return. It's like this is the second time she's done it today. But other than that, it's been a boring week.
All right, on to the news. 38 Studios. This was the baseball player's studio, right? 38
yep.
Studios. Kurt Schilling, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were they went bankrupt after making that game. I can't remember what it was called. But
oh my gosh! And it was redone. It was sold.
Yeah, and I guess the bankruptcy finally got paid out to the employees.
Come on, Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, after what, a decade, almost a decade, they finally got
something.
It was either 60 or 40% of what they were due on their last check or whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, talk about an insult. I guess it is.
I mean, they had good intentions going into it, but man,
Kingdoms of Amalur.
That's
Reckoning.
What it was. Yeah. I played it, and I remember thinking at the time it felt like an old game. It didn't really look all that good, but...
Yeah, it had like a wow-ish art style.
Yeah, very
so
much.
It does hold up in that regard. But like the pace of the story just didn't really grab me personally. I've been meaning to try to double back like on the remaster. Mm-hmm. I think I have it in my library somewhere. But it's one of those things that I never just have swung back around to, you know.
Well, Saints Row might be getting rebooted, not redone.
Yeah. So from what I've read, it's either a reboot of one of the games or it's going to be Saints Row 5.
Oh, okay. They kind of made it look like BioShock in a way.
Have you heard about it was the backlash they're getting because of the new look? So the original, right, obviously took a bit of a different turn than GTA. Remember when they came out with the original game, they're talking, oh, it's a GTA clone. But people played it and they said, oh, no, this is not a GTA clone.
No.
Obviously, they were, you know, pushing the envelope of reality, I guess is the easiest way to say it. But now they're rolling all of that way back, and now it looks just like a GTA clone again. And it's like, oh, God.
Well, I hope not, because, I mean, the thing about Saints Row was it didn't take itself seriously, and that's what was fun
exactly.
about it. Whereas, you know, GTA takes itself very seriously. But, I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait until it's out and we can look at the reviews and some gameplay. I mean, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, hopefully it's more like 3 and less like 4.
Right.
Because,
right.
like, I could not get into 4 at all. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but after you got the superpowers,
yeah.
it just ruined everything for me. I don't.
Yeah, there was no reason to use your vehicles anymore once
right.
you got the superpower. So Quake Enhanced has been released. What is Quake Enhanced?
Quake came out with 4K Quake. So they did a bit of a remaster up the graphic fidelity, and they've released it again in 4K. So it got a huge resurgence in number of people playing. I've got it downloaded and installed, but Humankind has just been absolutely
I'm trying to find
chewing
video.
Up all my time.
I'm trying to find video of it. Because they haven't... I mean, they upped the fidelity of the... Have they upped the graphics fidelity to 4K? I mean, because Quake is an old game.
It's insanely old.
Yeah.
So don't expect, like, you know, phenomenal, you know, 4K graphics. But relative to what it was, it looks awesome. And I don't mean awesome as in, oh, my gosh, look at these textures. Oh, you can see the guy's nose here. But just relative to what it was. Like, imagine Doom getting an upscale in graphics, and it's just, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Trying to find video, and I can't find any.
Just Google Quake 4K, hit one of those videos, and then you're like, yeah, this looks like a 20-year-old game that looks really good for a 20-year-old game.
Careful, I can't put someone else's content on my stream.
Oh, that's true, too, yeah.
So I can do, like, official trailers and stuff like that are fine, but or, like, storefront trailers fine, too. So, okay, I found one on Steam, so I can use that one. I remember playing Quake. Yeah, I mean, it still looks like poo. It's 4K poo.
It is not. It looks awesome.
No.
I would totally play that. That went. That is...
I would not play this. Oh, God.
Oh, come on. That is... When I remember the games,
4K.
How we used to play them, that's how I remember them. It's looking like that, and I would totally get into that again.
That's what that... You know, that's what we thought they looked like back then, right? So that's what we thought they looked like.
That's right.
Jeez.
I don't know. I'd play it again. But I don't know if it's just me, but like Quake 2 visually was the worst of all three. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't remember which one I played. It might have been 3 or 2. I'm not sure.
But 3 was my favorite, and 1 was like my favorite campaign, so to speak.
Well, this is some good but unusual news. The Steam Deck apparently will support Xbox cloud gaming. I guess because you can run Windows on it?
I would assume. What it kind of sounded like to me is like they were going to do like Xbox Cloud, xCloud client native for
Steam Deck.
The, right. Since, I mean, it's...
It's a rare occasion of Gabe cooperating with Windows or collaborating with Windows.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a thing and he needs a draw.
Yeah.
And Microsoft has a need to sell everybody on this xCloud thing. So to me, it made sense, you know. Plus, it'll also take the load off of the Steam Deck having to do all of the processing. It's just handling a video feed and input output, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the lag is like or the latency is like with the controls.
Yeah. I'm curious as well because, you know, Stadia isn't bad. So I haven't tried the xCloud stuff yet, so I'm curious to see how it all pans out.
I mean, I can't even stand just the little bit of latency I get in my Steam Deck, and it's wired. But every once in a while, you know, I'll get a network hiccup where it'll give a little bit of lag. It just drives me nuts. So we'll start seeing Intel GPUs in quarter one of 2022. That's good news for the GPU market. And they're apparently now known as the Intel Arc. Arc graphics cards.
Yep, it's going to be interesting to watch. From everything I've read, is like their first entry isn't going to be like a top-of-the-line competitor. It's going to be kind of right in the middle. So I'm curious to see where they land and how much they wind up selling for. If it has decent performance and it's a decent price, like these things, like gamers are going to scoop these up because they can't really get anything for a decent price from NVIDIA or AMD.
Gamers are anyway, or in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it seems like those two companies have kind of abandoned the middle, you know, $300 folks for the most part. Well, and $300 or less folks as well, because I don't think either one of them offer anything less than what, $329 is what the 3060 supposed to go for.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to watch. Hopefully they have something decent, but AMD and NVIDIA aren't sitting still, so I'm pretty sure they have something that'll leapfrog that even more in Q1 22. So we'll see how it plays out.
Hopefully it helps. OnlyFans bans sexually explicit content to appease banks.
OnlyFans? What's OnlyFans? I've never heard of OnlyFans.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
OnlyFans.
I think the last I heard, they kind of walked back on that.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. What is it?
You know what Patreon is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Patreon that kind of catered like heavier towards
streamers.
Like I first remember it being used mostly by like cosplayers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Except there wasn't really like a block on what you could do on there. So like when the Rona happened and people started, you know, being out of work, a lot of chicks was like, well, maybe I can sell some spicy pictures. And a lot of them made some bank and a lot of them didn't really make is what they expected to make.
And later regretted it.
Well, my guess is that once everything kind of normalizes and stabilizes out, there might be some regret there when they go to say they have a career and they managed to start a career and then, you know, they apply for this one position and then they do a Google search and it kind of goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, like some people were just doing straight up wow chicka wow wow on there.
Okay.
Behind the paywall. Right. Right. So, this, from what I read, like the banks was like, hey, like, yeah, dog, we're going to need y'all to do something because like, we don't want our name to be attached to this thing that's doing this thing that's attached to the bow chicka wow wow.
Right.
So the initial decision. Right. The initial decision was because they said that the banks were like, that's a no-go. And then a week later, I guess there was some negotiation or whatever, and they walked back that decision for now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, the porn industry is pretty heavily regulated. I don't know where making your own porn flick and, you know, selling it on your own website. I don't know necessarily what laws could be broken there.
Well, I mean, Pornhub's a thing.
Yeah.
But I think more than that, OnlyFans kind of wanted to branch out a little bit. And I mean,
you can't sell sex. Well, you can, but you're not supposed to.
Well, you're not.
That would be illegal, technically, if they were selling sex on, you know, prostitution on this website.
Well, it's not prostitution, though. For some reason, I was trying to hold down the push to talk button, and it just kept releasing. They wanted to do kind of branch out to more friendlier things, but it's not prostitution. I don't view it as prostitution. You're not physically like selling your body. Like during the pandemic, there was a case where a EMT lady or nurse made an OnlyFans to make some extra money because, you know, of everything. And she got slack for it from her job. And I personally think it's like kind of really nobody's business. Why are you even checking those sites to begin with? And banks deal with strip joints and things of that nature. So I don't see how OnlyFans is any different.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard not to be hypocritical here. Of course, like you're talking about, like the EMT that made a video or whatever and sold it on this website, and her work didn't like it. Could it be that her work's not going to want to have to deal with the harassment she's going to get from her coworkers?
It could be that, and it could also be some kind of clause in whatever statement she signed when she took the job as well.
Yeah,
because you know they have like all of this social media clauses and stuff.
When I was a police officer, I had to sign an ethics contract.
Right.
So I was prohibited from doing anything like that or appearing in uniform. At public speaking events without permission and stuff like that.
Right. And like if someone was out of work and they did this to get by, but they got a new job and they did a background check and this came up, then it could be, especially if they lied about it, it could be something they could get terminated for. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I mean, because
of what's in whatever clause that you have to agree to when you take the job. And just about everybody has those nowadays. So, yeah.
And now, and that's a good example. It's like an EMT works with the general public. Police officer works with general public. Like I said, I had to sign an ethics contract. And I could be fired if I had made a porn video and it had gotten out to the community I work for. Because it harms the image of my employer. So,
yeah,
it depends on what you do for a living.
Yeah. It's one of those double standards that nobody likes, but everybody kind of has to abide by. Just like there's double standards all throughout life that nobody likes, but everybody kind of has to abide by.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's just a thing, you know.
Yeah, I could see if a cop doing it, you know, he'd be called Officer Sexy by the general public or something like that. They'd be paying me to put my clothes back on. So NVIDIA's ARM acquisition has stalled. That's actually a good thing. I'm guessing this is I didn't read the article, but is it an antitrust issue?
Yeah, it's a regulation thing. Like they're trying to rush to get this thing approved, and if it falls through, then there's like a $1.25 billion that they have to pay SoftBank for the deal not going through.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's where the, you know, there's more than a billion dollars at stake. So SoftBank would get to keep that if it doesn't go through. I hope it doesn't go through.
Yeah, too.
That's just me. Like ARM is in too many things, like smartphones and all this other kind of stuff, and I just don't trust NVIDIA with that kind of IP. I don't trust them to be good stewards of the tech.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with you.
Uh-oh, we lost Whitney.
Nope.
Oh, there she is.
Go. There she is. All right. We had talked a couple weeks ago about the delisted EA games disappearing from GOG. And, you know, what a slippery slope that was. It begs to ask the question once again, do you really own your games? So what happened with the delisted games?
They came back for free. So,
oh, really?
Oh, really? Yeah. So the entire time that they're gone, if you own the game, you could still download it. You just weren't allowed to buy it again, which is good because that's really what we need. But then with the outcry, I got to say, like, the article is half bullshit. EA is like, oh, sorry, we didn't really think of the gamers when we did this. We've now applied a step where we consider the gaming community when we do these things next. What does that even mean? Like, you're trying to make a buck. Either people are buying your game or they're not. I have no idea why you delist it. But anyways, they're back for free right now until September 3rd on GOG. So you can go download them right now.
Especially since we haven't had a new version of Windows come out that they need to support or anything like that.
No. I mean, GOG does all that work, I believe.
Yeah,
they get the rights to the game, and then they create it, create the scripts and the editing necessary to make it run on modern software.
Well, it's glad I'm good. I'm glad that it's back. I don't know why it's only until September 3rd, but I guess if you want the games, you have until then to get them.
Hashtag adding to cart now.
Yeah.
Hashtag backlog.
Right.
Syndicate Plus, Syndicate Wars, Ultimate Underworld 1 and 2. So I guess four games technically, but yeah.
Well, things over at Blizzard continue to implode. It seems Alex Afrasabi isn't the only one getting references to their name removed in World of Warcraft after the Overwatch team announced the renaming of the hero McCree. Now, I have not been closely following what the hell is going on over there, but apparently there's some allegations of, I don't know if that's sexual harassment or just being mean. I've heard that, you know, employees being mistreated and bullied. But apparently even more well-known developers over at Blizzard are getting their references removed from the game.
Well, McCree was one of those involved with the Crosby Suite, and his name being attached to that character, because that character was named after him, has been kind of a big issue in light of all these allegations. And if I remember correctly, the state of California alleged more things against Blizzard. I don't have those details on hand. I can't pull them up. I'm just on my phone.
Has anybody been convicted of anything?
Not yet.
Has anybody been found guilty in any court of law of anything?
Not yet.
This is ongoing.
Has anybody been ordered by a civil court to pay damages?
Not yet.
Okay. So basically, these people are all guilty until proven innocent? Is that what we're doing now? I mean, it used to be innocent until proven guilty, but...
I think, one, we can't deny that there is this big problem with sexual assault and more happening in the gaming community.
I'm not saying that's not a problem.
And I think, like, for California to allege and put these charges against Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, is a pretty big deal. And if I think I'm remembering now, they were saying Blizzard was trying to persuade their employees to talk to like an in-house like lawyer or like somebody within their wheelhouse to keep them from going and talking to anybody else.
I would just hate to be found guilty of something without due process. And I think that a company like Blizzard, being super progressive as it is kind of, these are all knee-jerk reactions to try to appease a portion of their fan base, which nowadays is super progressive.
I would not call Blizzard progressive. I'm sorry.
Well, they hold themselves up to be progressive.
Yeah, I'd back Whitney's statement, and I wouldn't call them progressive at all either.
That's how they see themselves, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're not wrong.
You know, the breast reduction of Jaina Proudmoore, the more strong women characters in the game, and you know, and they let us know that they did all that, and they pandered.
Sorry, she still has some pretty big honkers.
They pandered to their audience that they did those things, and they pandered at how inclusive they were of the LGBTQ community, and you know, that's how they present themselves. That's why I think they get beat on so hard, is because they hold themselves up as this progressive company, but you know, that may not be reality. But as far as
definitely a facade.
As far as, you know, going to these extremes, I think it's a little early. I'm a big believer, and I believe our Constitution says you're innocent until proven guilty, and if nobody's been found guilty in any court or any jurisdiction, I don't think that. But it is a private company, so I mean, they can do these things if they want to.
Well, if they have stock, isn't that a public company?
It is a publicly traded company. Yes, that's what I just said. It's a you know, private as opposed to supported by public funds. Is what I meant. Right.
It's not
a federal company.
It's not a tax supported agency.
Yeah, but I just think this has happened over and over and over and over again, and then people still have this sort of same mindset, like, oh well, you know, nobody's been convicted, but you know, like, they've had to pay out settlements, and they only present themselves to be more of this inclusive company after they, you know, get called out for their actions. No,
nobody's paid out anything yet. As far as I know, nobody's paid out anything.
I think that statement I'm confusing real quick with Riot, because there was things happening with them. But
yeah. No, I know sexual harassment is a very serious thing, and it happens, and it's the same thing with racism. It's a very serious thing. It should be taken very serious, and it happens. I know it does. But I think when you have a lot of instances like this, where we're not getting a whole lot of information, but they're taking all these actions against these people, I don't think it's too much to ask to say, you know, show me some evidence, or, you know, are there charges filed against these people? I mean, are we just, or is this just a witch hunt and we're going to burn them at the stake because, you know, we think they're bad?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I can't justify wrongdoing, but like, in this day and age, like, an allegation can tank your whole livelihood.
Yeah.
And it could be a false allegation, or it could be absolutely true. Either way, you're done.
Right.
You know, and like, nobody speaks out for the people who were done wrong with a false allegation, and the accusers typically don't have anything.
Consequence.
Right. And, like, I totally understand what Whitney is saying, but like, if these people are found, if these people are actually guilty, like, I'd like to see some movement on it for real.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know. The whole thing is a mess. And I mean, even when you look at like social interactions with people, like, there are guys out there that are like totally afraid to approach women because they don't want to be to catch the harassment label. And that harassment label can be subjective, because if it's a hot guy, she's probably not going to say it's harassment unless he's just being an asshole.
Right.
You know, but if it's somebody that she doesn't like, they could actually say, you know, like, this guy's harassing me, when he could have just asked her for a date. You know, I've seen it both ways, and it's annoying to think that as a society that we've kind of reached that level. You know,
a lot of companies, and I know a lot of government agencies, the one I used to work for included, came out with policies that you were not allowed to date coworkers, and that was how they solved this problem. Okay, you shouldn't be hitting on your coworkers because you're by policy not allowed to date them.
Right, right.
So
yeah, and you know, like, where over the years I've seen both. I've seen a guy actually get canned because the lady said it was harassment, and then a month later, you know, like, a new hire comes in and all the girls are after him, but he hollers at her and she goes, and it's like, what in the entire hell? And it's the same way on the other side. Some years back, I saw this chick going after this guy, and he did not like her, like, at all. You know, I don't know whether he didn't like how she looked, how she smelled, or something, but it got to the point to where he actually had to file something with HR because she wouldn't leave him alone. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, people dynamics, they trip me out, and it's, when you layer the social dynamics on top, like, it can get to be a freaking mess, man.
And my fear is, you know, when we go to an extreme like this with Blizzard, that it's going to start to swing the other way. It's like a pendulum. It's going to go extreme the other way, and we're not going to take the actual allegations in the future seriously because we went too extreme, you know, here. So when we get an allegation in the future, there's going to be doubt now. And we're not going to take it seriously. Like, if these guys are found to be not guilty and all this shit happened to them, in the future, these poor women that actually are getting harassed, they're not going to be believed because of this, because these guys had their careers ruined prematurely. If, you know, if they're guilty, screw them. They should have their careers, you know, ruined. But they shouldn't be doing this shit until after, you know, they present their case and they present that these are our findings. This is what they're guilty of. These are the laws they violated. Otherwise, if these guys are found to be not found guilty of any wrongdoing, allegations in the future could be not taken as seriously. And that would be terrible. That would be a terrible thing to come out of this.
I think, in a way, you're kind of discrediting the amount of people that have come up.
No, I'm not saying, I'm not calling them liars.
No, but I'm sorry. My push to talk keeps releasing. If you read the allegations that the state of California presents, and you kind of follow it, there's a really good YouTuber called Emily Baker, something like that. And she's kind of broken down the case really well. And I think, side note while it's on my mind, Curlin, the kind of difference is that there was proof of harassment that somebody didn't let go. You can ask somebody, hey, do you want to go out on a date? And I think anybody, you know, everybody should understand somebody can. And, you know, like, and if you let it go, you say no and they go on, like, that's not obviously harassment. But, you know, it is sort of a fine line. And yes, it is sort of subjective, but it's a conversation that kind of needs to happen. And the amount of people, and, like, even people that I know, I'm kind of really passionate about it because I know some of these people. And, like, when I was in the military, it's the gaming culture. It's a culture, and it happens. And I just think that statement really kind of discredits the amount of people.
Which statement?
Just kind of all of it.
You've been guilty?
Well, There's been kind of enough proof out there, or there's been some. I do think California needs to act. They need to do something because you can't just kind of drop this bombshell.
You need more than proof. You have to prove it. And you have to actually find somebody guilty of wrongdoing before you punish them. And that's the way society has always worked. And I'm not saying that these people are innocent, and I'm not calling anybody a liar. Anybody that's making the allegations a liar. All I'm saying is it needs to be thoroughly investigated, and they need to stop these knee-jerk reactions in ruining people's careers before they're found guilty and actually charged with something or found legally liable in a case. I think everyone has the right to present evidence and be heard. And I think that probably comes from my, you know, law enforcement background, but innocent until proven guilty. I mean, and I'm not saying these girls are lying. They could be telling the truth. And if they are, and these people are found guilty, screw them. But wait till they're found guilty.
I think them leaving Blizzard, I don't think it's for the sake of Blizzard. I don't know. I think they left because there's probably enough there and they're trying to calm the waters.
They could have taken a buyout too. I mean, that's just conjecture. We're guessing, right? I mean, yeah, we don't have any evidence other than what we've read online.
Let me just jump in. At the very least, and I say this chuckling because it is a bit tongue-in-cheek, regardless of the reason their HR personnel left at that time, just at the very bottom, that is insanely bad timing for bad optics.
Oh, like, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to be clear here that I think, you know, this alleged behavior is deplorable. It's disgusting. And I know it happens in real life, and I know it's going on, and it goes on every day, and it needs to stop. And I am not on the side of the good old boys club here. I'm just saying that let's not get ahead of ourselves. There used to be a saying that it's better that 1,000 guilty people walk free than one innocent man go to jail or one innocent person go to jail. And there's a reason for that. I mean, that would be the worst thing is, you know, we put an innocent person to death that didn't do the crime. And I think that sometimes in these situations that does happen. Johnny Depp is the most recent, most tragic example.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I support Johnny Depp. Like, all the way I support Johnny Depp. But, like, and you're not wrong. You are innocent until proven guilty. I just think that at some point you need to kind of put your foot down and say enough is enough. Like, I'm just in general with the company, that the culture within it needs to change.
That's exactly right. It's the culture that needs to change. That we agree on 100%. And I think that's what everybody really wants, is for the culture to change.
Yeah.
All right. Do everybody have their say? I don't want to move on without everybody having their say.
Yeah, we get a little heavier here.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't want to feel like I was walking over anybody here.
Oh, no. We're all good.
It's a very difficult topic to discuss because exactly as you said.
It's a difficult topic to discuss, honestly.
Because in the end, looking back, if they are found guilty, you don't want to be supporting them now, right? But you definitely don't want to be saying guilty, guilty, guilty. And all of a sudden, one of them, whatever, maybe all of them, are found innocent or, you know,
or guilty.
Guilty by association. Yeah. And it's like, what do you say? I want justice to prevail and people to feel like justice prevailed for them.
Right. It's a shame that this is happening, that it's going on at all. And it's especially in 2021. And the culture, and Whitney's absolutely right, the culture needs to change.
Sorry, go ahead, keep going.
I was going to say, you know, Whitney is, and I'm not pandering here, but she has a very unique perspective, being female and being a gamer, and has been on the receiving end of you know, harassing comments. And you know, I have no idea what that's like as a male, you know, in the gaming world, so...
It's interesting at times, the messages you get.
I really, really want to know the honest story behind the Cosby suite. I've seen a couple theories that the timelines don't necessarily match up, but maybe, maybe not. And I just want to know, like, if it's true and it matches up to the whole Cosby incident, then, man, that is just seriously dumb. Like, and I don't obviously want to go overboard and overdramify it with words and cursing, but man. And then if it's not related to the Cosby thing at all, then where did that come from? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if whatever those allegations are, there's some truth in it if it's not 100% true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I also wouldn't be surprised to see some of it exaggerated for the sake of sensationalism. Right. And I say that because of the type of clickbaity, sensational type of world that we're kind of in now. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true. And I mean, I know from firsthand experience talking to the media and being misquoted in the newspaper.
You'd be like, that's not what I said. You son of a bitch.
I did not say that.
Context matters.
Yeah.
So, Marvel Midnight Sun. It's a new turn-based superhero game. When's this coming out?
Yeah. I just found this today, like just looking for the news, and I'm like reading through this. I'm like, oh. So I'd heard rumblings that a new XCOM style game was in the works, but I didn't realize it was coming from Marvel. And more interesting, I thought, was the developer. So 2K Games is the publisher, but Firaxis is the developer. And Firaxis,
wow.
We know, is Civ.
Yeah. Well, they had a lot of games in the 90s for Axis.
Yeah.
And they haven't been heard from since they got shut down.
Yeah.
I guess they're up again, huh?
Yeah, the trailer that you're going to see isn't a real trailer. It's just a propaganda piece, right? So there's no gameplay at all. Nothing to see how it's going to play. But I'm going to be interested because it will be in a XCOM-style, turn-based, strategic deployment type scenario. So I'm keen. I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out.
This pre-rendered video looks pretty cool.
Oh, it's a great little storyline they've got there with the animations.
And I've noticed they have Marvel characters you don't normally see together. So that's interesting. Oh, and there's a Cthulhu aspect to it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, there's Blade. Huh. Very interesting. Yeah, this
so
is
might
one we have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we might get to see some gameplay on September 1st.
Well, that would be cool. Now, who's that?
The villain?
Yeah.
It's mentioned in the article, and it wasn't someone I even realized. Lilith, Mother of Demons.
Oh, okay, yeah. Lilith, Mother of Demons.
So there is a story arc that I believe came from the 80s, maybe, that introduced her, but whatever.
Well,
I mean,
there's
sure.
Actual, not theology, but, well, there's some theology.
Canon.
And not even canon, but actual human mythology with Lilith being the mother of all demons. That's why you'll see it across properties, because it's actual human mythology.
Mm.
For example, Lucifer Morningstar is a DC character, and in his world, Lilith is the mother of all demons. Then you take a show like Supernatural, Lilith is the mother of all demons. That's because in human mythology, Lilith is the mother of all demons.
Interesting. Release date right now, March 2022. I will bet dimes to dollars that that's going to get pushed back. So maybe by the end of 2022 is my guess.
Well, I could tell you from firsthand experience that driving across Wyoming is a beautiful experience. But if you want the simulated version, American Truck Simulator Wyoming starts next month. I'm going to pull up the trailer. Yeah, Wyoming is really a beautiful state. This actually looks like Jenny Lake right here, near the Grand Tetons. So
I would say buy Microsoft Flight Simulator and just fly really, really, really low.
I would say just rent a car and drive across Wyoming. It would look better than this simulated Wyoming. Some people are really into these games, though, and it's like, why don't you just get a job as an over-the-road trucker?
Right.
I mean, if that's what you want to do. Long-haul truckers make six figures, man.
Have you heard of the power washing game?
No, but I've heard it's really satisfying. I have heard of it. And there, I watched the video of it. There was something oddly satisfying watching the power wash.
I know.
And then if you want to know what it's like to be homeless, there's a Bum Simulator, which has just recently been released. You can weaponize your pigeons, throw piss on people, build a cardboard house, talk with your shopping cart. Friends, solve the mystery of sewer rat people, and much, much more. Obviously, this is not a game that takes itself very seriously. It's probably an awful game, too, but I'm going to buy it if it's cheap, because I'm sure I'll get a laugh out of it. Cool stuff. Unlock bum powers. And upgrade them. That's hilarious. What will they think of next? So our topics this week, I posed the question, can you separate the person from their achievements or work? You know, when we look at history, we tend to separate a person's achievements historically from their personal lives because you really can't judge people of the past by today's moral standards. George Washington, for example, if you were to judge him by today's standards, he'd be removed from all the money and vilified. So is it, you know, but what we think about today's artists, are we able to do that? Artists and creators, and this kind of goes back to the Blizzard thing, Blizzard removing any references to these developers in the games and whatnot. Can we do that today? Can we separate the creator from their actions and their personal lives? Are we able to do that? And Logan, you know, made a perfect point here when he said that what if the most evil person in the world created the most beautiful piece of music?
Yeah. So assume the music is created first, the music in existence, and then you find out they're the most evil person in the world. Does that denigrate the music they created? Does that mean that if you're, I friggin' love philosophy, philosophical discussions, just, I love the opinions about them. Does that make you a bad person now for appreciating that creation? And it can be applied to any, like the arts is such an easy way to do it. Any kind of artistic creation, whether it be a painting, a picture, music, something that you can appreciate that has tangibility, that exists, that you're like, oh my God, this is beautiful, that can move you and touch you in an emotional way. But now the person behind that is completely evil.
But I don't think it makes you a bad person, but I think whether or not you knew going into it, like before you heard the song, if you knew the person was evil and then you heard the song, it might not have had the same effect on you as if you already had already heard the song, but later found out this guy was, you know, a serial killer. You might still be able to enjoy the song, not having found out until afterwards. Or it could spoil you on the song or the art or whatever it is.
So do you think that the piece of art they created should still be allowed to exist, or should it be erased?
I'm gonna say it depends. It's one of those tough questions. Go ahead, Whitney.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, if you kind of enjoy this, you might like the essay, Death of the Author. This is kind of like that situation.
What if I told you that there is an example of this already out there, though some wouldn't consider him evil, just like a problem?
Oh, Christopher Columbus?
Say what? No, he's actually from your neck of the woods, Jim.
What? Oh, no.
R. Kelly?
Boom. Oh, that yes.
That boy's good.
You're right. You could, all you had to say was he smells like piss. Yeah, his sheets smell like piss. Yes.
I forgot about that.
Hiding in the closet right now.
Yes. Oh my God.
He's from Joliet, up, south of here. Yeah.
I had a couple neighbors. One was a POW from World War II. The other was a concentration camp survivor. And so I got all kinds of stories from the POW, but the concentration camp survivor refused to talk at all for literal decades. I'd actually moved out, started my career by the time they decided that it was time for them to talk about it. They ended up writing a book, touring the province, telling their story. And one of the things that I got from reading his book is the association of certain art pieces with Nazism. Now, these artists were not Nazis themselves. Their pieces may have been commissioned by Nazis or people within the SS. For instance, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this wrong. And I really apologize because I really should know this one.
I do want to say, too, the Nazis stole a lot of their symbolism from Nordic heritage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of
times. The swastika was a Buddhist thing, I believe.
Hindu. It's Hindu. And yeah, it's Hindu. Also one of the symbols Odin gave to the Nordic people. But you'll never see it in present day Norse mythology books or art. It's been removed.
Yep. And so now these artists have had a lot of their paintings removed from various art galleries throughout the years because they don't want to be associated with it, because it was known that certain people within the SS really loved these art pieces and would or have them in places of honor, like right above their desks or certain things like that. So I found that out. I'm like, wow, that is a really good philosophical discussion, because the artist wasn't a Nazi, but was paid by Nazis to create something for them. So by extension now, does that mean that piece is a piece of Nazi propaganda, Nazi art?
Yeah, it's difficult with the Nazi thing because they adopted so much from Scandinavia. They stole so much from Scandinavia and they idolized the Scandinavian people. And that reflects in their art and a lot of their symbolism, and especially in the SS. Himmler was obsessed with Scandinavian people. He called them the master race. And that's why Hitler never invaded Sweden, and why Norway, it didn't capitulate, but there was a Norwegian resistance. I don't want to besmirch but they were treated a lot better when they were occupied than the other countries were.
This is all interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's got pretty philosophical, but. And it kind of drives me nuts sometimes, because I will see stuff in the media and people claim it's Nazism or related to the Nazis, and it's not. It's Scandinavian. History seems to have forgotten that the obsession the SS had with Scandinavian peoples. But
you know how it goes sometimes, though. It's like it's not. Where something made hot by may not be from the originator, but somebody that was actually able to make it a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the person that made it a thing, a lot of people saw it there first, you know, therefore they either ignore when you tell them or don't acknowledge the originator or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I give you a good example, especially with the SS, because they were the biggest ones for stealing Scandinavian stuff. In Odinism, there's something called the Nine Noble Principles. Well, they're the exact same Nine Noble Principles that you'll find in the SS. They're the same Nine Noble Principles, but they existed before the SS, before Nazism. And you'll find the same Nine Noble Principles in Freemasonry, because that stuff existed long before the Nazis did. But the original question was, you know, can we separate from people's, you know, works from their what they've done? And I think ultimately it depends. I can still enjoy an R. Kelly song. if he had had any that I enjoyed. Michael Jackson's a good example. I'll still listen to Thriller.
Is he innocent, though? He is.
We don't know. Well, he was never convicted of anything.
That's right.
But there's a lot of suspicion there. But he was never convicted of anything. But I still enjoy his music. You know, I grew up listening to Michael Jackson. At records. So, yeah, I guess it's going to be just... I guess we're going to have to leave it with It Depends.
Yep.
And I only brought that up because of the Blizzard thing.
J.K. Rowling is a good...
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Rowling's misquoted a lot, though.
If you read her essay...
Yeah.
She's is your issue with her because she's anti-feminism?
No, I'm just saying this whole thing, like...
She doesn't like trans people?
No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, like, this comes up, this sort of, like, philosophical debate comes up all the time.
That's a good example, though. The more I think about it.
And, like, I still enjoy Harry Potter. You just got to be able, at times, to separate the art from the artist. And, like, Harry Potter, to me, was a big part of my childhood. And it brought me so much joy. And so when I watch it, I don't think of J.K. Rowling. I think of the story.
Right.
And that's the important thing.
The story's bigger than the creator.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
You're right. I think you just nailed it.
Yeah, you did. That was the perfect example. That was the perfect example. Cool. So what have we been streaming? I started streaming a series called Alone on the History Channel on demand. It was extremely boring. I watched the first season and then now I'm done. There's 8 seasons of this. I don't know how people could sit through 8 seasons of this. Then I started watching The Gathering Storm. I mean, literally, Alone. And it's on the History Channel. They take these people that have volunteered to go out in the middle of nowhere, and they're allowed to take so many items of survival gear. And these people are all survivalists, so they're all trained for this shit. And then they put them out there, and all they do is complain the whole time. And I'm like, what are you... They're constantly white. Oh, it's wet. It's cold. What the fuck did you think it was going to be? You signed up for this shit. The one guy quit day one because there was a bear in the woods. I'm like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? You know there's going to be a goddamn bear in the woods. Another guy was like a special forces military guy. He's like, yeah, I've been to Africa and trained all these troops and did this and that. He drank some bad water and then was out. It was hallucinating and shit. I'm like, you don't just drink water from a fucking pond. You have to filter it with something. You have to collect like rainwater or the dew or some shit like that. Even I know that. He's like, I'm going to filter it through this moss and that's going to clean it out. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah. And as a high speed military guy, he should have known that, right? That's the irony.
Right. His ass had to be rescued. So, you know who won the first season? Was just some good old boy from the South, man, who's been living off the grid in the woods with his family his whole life, and that's just all he knows. And that's who won.
I bet it was a breeze for him. That's the funny thing.
His biggest enemy was himself, because he kept talking to himself and he'd get into fights with himself. So, but yeah, just some good old boy from Alabama or whatever southern country or state he was from. That's who won. Not the high-speed military guy, not the cop, not the young, in-touch-with-nature hippie hemp dude. It was the backwoods dude from Alabama.
I can imagine a lot of the things he asked folks was like, what do you mean this ain't normal?
So what do you need to survive? I'm going to need somebody's skin. Toothpick and that alligator over there. Oh, God. And then I started watching, and this was actually pretty good. If you like Twister, this is like Twister with hurricanes. Not Twister the game, Twister the movie. It's called Gathering Storm on the Discovery Channel, and it's on Disney Plus, and you can stream it, all the episodes. It was really good. If you like seeing storms come in and knock ships over and blow shit up and knock shit down. Good flick. Good series. Pretty good series. And that was it for me. What about you, Logan?
I made my way through the full crossover of Final Crisis. So that was The Flash, Arrow, Batwoman, and Supergirl, and The Legends of Tomorrow. It was all right. I'm always curious to see how they're going to do that. Doing a live action event like that, where in the comics, you know, there is literal, you know, dozens of heroes in the end, and then whittling it down to, I think, six or seven. It was all right. You know, I was left wanting more, but I appreciate that they did try to do it. You know, and for what it was okay. I finished watching Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom. This was the third part in their trilogy. I've said this many times before, Gen 1 or GTFO. Gen 1 was absolutely the best of the best in terms of storyline, voicing, characters, plot, all this stuff.
Is this on Netflix? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, War for Cybertron is on Netflix. I did appreciate this kind of storyline. It did make things interesting. It trashed canon, though. It just wrecked it. There's a lot of stuff going on in that. In the end, there was one scene, and I didn't even realize where they were, like what the setting was, until they're like, oh, we're here. I'm like, oh, I thought you were like in an alternate dimension kind of thing. So, but yeah, it was good enough. My son and I have been making our way through Grey's Anatomy.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's a show for chicks.
I tell him he wants to be a surgeon when he grows up. So I said, here you go. You got to watch this.
Oh, he's going to think that's what it's really like.
I said, here's the lifestyle of a surgeon.
Yeah, they're having sex in the linen closets with their coworkers. That's
yeah. What else? I made my way through or got up to date on Marvel What If. I think we spoke about the original one that came out there a couple weeks ago. I caught up on the next two. I'm not a huge fan of the animation style, but I definitely don't dislike it either. And I love sort of these one-offs, you know, doing a very small episodic thing saying, hey, what if this would happen? What if that? That led me into another Marvel one-shot, which was a good spin-off of The Mandarin. So in the movie actor who played the Mandarin went to jail in the end, and so they're trying to do a documentary about him, and then just doing, you know, a little movie magic to spin that off a bit, and, you know, do a bit of a setup. And as well, I had no idea this was even out. The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf. It's an animated or an anime Witcher show, episodic, and I was like, wow. The setup to it's really, really good so far. Canon with the Witchers, I think, is relatively bang on. I've only played the first game, but it seems to align with what I understand for the first game. So it's pretty freaking good so far. I'm very interested to see how it's going to pan out. And to wrap it all up, I watched It, the 2017 version, with my child because he was getting a bit too big for his brickets. Like, here, you watch this, and then you sleep in the basement by yourself.
You'll float too.
And then in the middle of the night, I walk downstairs and put a red balloon by his bed.
Oh, it's so mean.
Dude, I know I put this in the Hangouts chat one Halloween. I was driving. This is when I was still a cop. And I was on patrol when I'm driving. And I turn the corner and there's a red balloon tied to a sewer grate. I'm like, what the fuck? And it was like 2017, pretty close, or 2018, pretty close to when that movie had come out. And I'm like, nope. And I backed the fuck up down that street.
I'm just going to leave that there.
Yeah, I took a picture of it, though, and put it in the Hangouts chat. Too funny. Great, great movies, though. Whitney, what have you been streaming?
I've been watching Hell's Kitchen. Did anybody catch the Bob Ross documentary on Netflix?
Oh, no, but I'd like to.
No, because I hear it's super sad.
Oh, really?
It is, but totally watch it. I'm a little sad it wasn't longer. And I've been kind of reading a few articles about like kind of the aftermath and the pushback, but I'm like, I kind of wish it would have dove deeper because kind of the accusations that it levies is kind of like, really? Because it makes me wonder, okay, well, is the Bob Ross Twitch channel owned by BRI, or is this like some separate entity? Are they making any profit off of it, or is all of it going to charity? So it just, it raises a lot of questions, but it's good. And it gives you a fresh insight into Bob Ross, because I've watched a few documentaries, and this one like gives you a different insight into him, and his son's in it, which was really nice to see. So that's been the big thing for me.
Carolyn, what about you?
Nothing really, just that my wife likes to watch SVU as we go to sleep sometimes, and that's about it.
Does it give like you messed up dreams?
No. Oh.
I tell you, my sleep meds give me messed up dreams. I had a dream last night. AT&T gave me superpowers, but it mutated me. So I was in like this AT&T research facility trying to break out of it. I don't know why.
Like it was Umbrella Corp.
Yeah, only it was AT&T. My internet was really fast, though. All right, anybody got anything else?
Nope.
This is a long one to make up for us not being here last week. I forgot to mention this last week, but I am no longer doing a YouTube channel. The channel itself has been deleted. Podcast is going to be, and Extra Life are going to be my only projects moving forward. Just because I'm starting a part-time job, going back to school, blah, blah, blah. Nothing changes with the podcast, though, and I'll probably still occasionally stream to Twitch when I find a game that's interesting. But like I said, nothing changes with the podcast. We'll still be here every week if we can. You can find the AFK Podcast at theafkpodcast.net, where you'll find links to our Twitch stream and Discord. Join our Discord for more PC gaming and hardware discussion. So for me, for Curlin, for Logan, and for Whitney, thank you for being here. We will see you next Sunday. Thank you, Jerry Gamer, for being on the channel.
Peace.
Bye.